Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is Ernesto from Social Work Mentor with you again. And in this episode, you'll be hearing an interview that I did. I was interviewed by Moriah from the Coffee Advocate. I'm sorry, the Advocate Coffee. And actually, Moriah was a recent colleague of mine until she moved on to her new venture with the Advocate. And she runs a small coffee company that she donates a portion of her funds to youth organizations. And so although she's started to pursue her passion and her business with coffee and all things coffee related, she still continues to, in her mind, do social work. And so we talked in this episode a little bit about what advocacy looks like and how the impact of our words and our work goes much beyond the time of that work and how that can manifest itself far into the future, and a lot of other interesting topics. So I hope you find this episode enjoyable and interesting, and let's get into it now.
Sorry, we'll just kick it off real quick with just a quick kind of recap of kind of the intention behind doing these coffee chat series. And it was really to find a different way of connecting with my coffee advocates and community members. And during this whole time, I haven't been able to do my pop-up locations or the vendors or the vendor pop-up locations and the festivals and all of that. So I was feeling very disconnected from just being able to talk to people and connect. So I thought, let's do this, but also let's join, kind of join forces with people who are also doing advocacy and social work stuff, and who have a similar background in entrepreneurship, and spotlight them. I really love helping people in that manner and getting them going and started, and what better way to do it than with a cup of coffee in hand?
That's right.
So
no better way.
I know. I love it. Is that your coffee mug for Social Work Mentor?
Oh, yes, it is. It's
love it.
One of my little merch things.
Yeah.
Speaking of business, you know, it's most of my merch is consumed by me, but I do have people who get some stuff too. But I just like to, I take pride in, you know, the work that I do on the side and the advocacy, if you want to, you know, go down that path. And so, you know, I got my shirts and my mugs and all those things.
No, I love it.
And there's people out in the world that have it.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, let's tell us a little bit about your business and your background.
All right. Well, in terms of social work, my background is primarily in child welfare. So I've done most of my work either as a court case carrying social worker or doing evaluation and monitoring of child welfare cases. I've done intervention and prevention. So I've done a lot of stuff in child welfare. I've also done some drug and alcohol stuff. I did a pretty good stint in school social work at the elementary, middle, and high school level. Organization that I work, opportunities to do a lot of different kinds of social work.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really helped me. Just, I'm the kind of person that likes to, I mean, I like to go deep on stuff, but I like to go wide too. Like I'm, you know, after a certain amount of time, it's not that I don't still like the job that I do, but my eyes wander and I wonder what impact could I have in these other areas.
Yeah.
Totally. So throughout, I've worked in social work at this government agency for pushing 25 years now in a couple months.
Crazy.
Actually, no. I forgot. Time has passed. It has been 25 years now.
Wait, is this
as
DFCS?
Of September.
You've been with DFCS for?
Well, with the county. I have been in family and children's services, but I've also been in drug and alcohol and the school-based services. So, but they're all within the same large county organization. So yeah, so that's my, in a very compacted nutshell, that's my kind of professional social work background. Mm-hmm. But at some point, I've always been A, interested in just gadgets and technology, mm-hmm. and B, interested in like trying to find a way to meld or bring together technology and social work, because I always felt that even like many years ago when I was, my skills were basic, and I'm by no means like a programmer or anything, but my skills were much more basic, but I saw the opportunity to like, you know, provide online resources to social workers that, you know, they'd have to find them and print them out or get mm-hmm. this binder and look through it. So, mm-hmm. so I kind of had like this little passion to try to bring those two worlds together.
Yeah.
And so with the skills that I had, whatever they might have been at the time in technology, or at that time it was like building websites, mm-hmm. I started developing like this website. And at first it wasn't called Social Work Mentor, it was called Practice Model Helper, mm-hmm. because we were, for the, you know, some of the work that I did was developing this practice model to help social workers structure and define their work in child welfare. Mm-hmm. So it was an attempt to kind of make that easily accessible for those social workers on a cell phone or on their desk computer. Yeah. And then from there, you know, I built that out to change the name to Social Work Mentor to make it more broad and not just for those particular social workers. Mm-hmm. And it's really a tool, as I mentioned, to try to make a lot of the frameworks and tools and things easily accessible and user-friendly for social workers in the field or in the office. Mm-hmm. So I built that out. And then along the same lines, I started, actually how I met you, mm-hmm. Is that your particular role was like, it's called Social Worker One. So it's mm-hmm. kind of, I know, before you developed into what you're doing now, mm-hmm. it was one of the ways to get into the county and start doing support work for mm-hmm. social workers, case caring social workers. And I really love that work, and people like you and our colleagues. Yeah, I really enjoyed trying to share whatever knowledge I had or you know, guidance. And so I realized that I could do the same, because I was only doing it with our unit that we were working in.
Right.
But I realized that using the tools of technology, I could provide those kinds of that kind of guidance or advice or whatever, doing like courses and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I started developing courses. Oh. I branched out kind of from the website and did other things. So at this point, to kind of end this little piece.
No, it's okay. I've basically, this is the whole point of it.
Okay, yeah. So I basically, you know, it's just been a now kind of almost 10-year just slow progression mm-hmm. towards this goal that I have at the end of really kind of a one-stop shop support for social workers. So when we talk about advocacy, obviously everything that we do in social work, at the end of the day, you're advocating for clients, for families, children, individuals, communities. But I've kind of zeroed in on or realized that I think part of my passion is advocating for and kind of supporting social workers on the ground, particularly kind of entry level social workers or people maybe even considering getting into social work, mm-hmm. And really at the early stages. I'm really trying to focus on advocating for them and supporting them to either develop a firm foundation for their career or to welcome them into the career and give them the mm-hmm. tools and knowledge that they might need to understand just what the work is all about. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I am right now. On the side from that, recently I got elected as a school board member here in one of my in the local school district.
Nice. Congratulations.
And
I remember you telling me about that the last time we met up, and that's great.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through my term now, mm-hmm. And I currently serve as the president. But just the only reason I bring it up is because I'm always, another thing I'm passionate about is social workers kind of realizing our potential and realizing that we have so, the skill set that we bring, mm-hmm. the tools that we have, the experience and background and training, we have so much to offer in all kinds of different areas.
Yeah.
And in that role, I'm able to really advocate. It's basically, for me, it's the same community mm-hmm. for all intents and purposes that I serve through this county organization.
Yeah.
But I found that I am able to have much more of a direct impact as a school board member mm-hmm. than I am able to have kind of through the bureaucracy of this agency. So
yeah.
So advocacy, you know, I guess can look very different, and and obviously what you're doing with it's kind of a unique model of advocacy, you know, and it's the melding of your passions we talked about before.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's I think the point of all this that I'm trying to make is that I think you've shown, and hopefully myself, is that as social workers we can advocate in a lot of different ways, and maybe not the traditional ways that mm-hmm. people might think of or you know, consider to be advocacy when they think about social work.
Yeah, I love
it. So let me take a breath and a sip.
I love it because I think when I think about my business and people asking me, oh, are you like, especially old colleagues or coworkers or even people from my cohort who I graduated with, they ask mm-hmm. me, are you doing social work? And it's one of those things that I have to step back and be like, am I doing social work? And I have to remind myself.
The answer is yes.
I am. It's just in a different way. And I love that you're taking it in that way too, of social work can be so many different things. Like, social workers wear mm-hmm. so many different hats that I don't think people realize that there's lots of roles that we take on. And it's one of the reasons why I picked social work as my career and degree, is because it's broad and you can do mm-hmm. a lot of things, but at the core of it is that advocacy. And advocacy can mean different things to different people. And you know, you could be advocating for, you know, children's rights all the way to working in school districts and changing the systems and how mm-hmm. they work and how they treat children and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I love that we're talking about that, because I don't think people realize that it's very fun. And I guess depending on the population you work with, rewarding career, because you really are advocating, and mm-hmm. it's a matter of picking something that you really are passionate about and going with and sticking with that.
Yeah. I have a really good friend, just real quick, who she's also an MSW that, you know, that I've worked with in a lot of different areas, but she's a lobbyist actually. And,
really? And
you know, some people may, you know, have certain ideas about what a lobbyist is or what a lobbyist does.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as you mentioned, it could be everything from working direct service with a child
mm-hmm.
through, you know, she's in Sacramento and Washington, D.C. So she's walking those halls advocating, obviously with certain goals on whatever she's doing, but she has that social work perspective. And so, I mean, literally, the other thing I wanted to mention too, that I don't know who will ever see this, but I know that something that I come across in my social media and stuff, well, you and I are in California, mm-hmm. and here, you know, we can call someone a social worker, and you could say you're a social worker without having passed this licensing requirement that many other states have. And so, you know, there's always a discussion and a debate about mm-hmm. Title protection and, you know, can you call yourself a social worker or not, and everything that comes with that.
Yeah.
And where I kind of fall with that is that I get that we want to protect our title, and we do a lot to be social workers. We prepare ourselves and put a lot in to make sure that, to making sure that we provide appropriate, ethical services and advocacy. But at the same time, you know, I've known many people who have, in my years, who have gone through everything and done everything and been licensed in our state for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They may not always have either the cultural competency or mm-hmm. Whatever it is to be like the world's best social worker, mm-hmm. in my estimation at least. And I've known others who don't have a license, or maybe not even their, you know, BSW yet, but they are like, I would consider them fantastic social workers, because they're mm-hmm. advocating, they're supporting, they're empowering, mm-hmm. they're doing all the things that are defined in our code of ethics. And so I think that's just an interesting
No, I'm really proud of what a social worker is. Because I think in my early years when I was in school and in the social work program, I was all about the rights and the protection of, you know, you go to school to become a social worker and you go through a lot of training and a lot of different things to get to where you're at. And so I remember being very like, no, you can't call yourself a social worker because you don't have your degree or you don't have your license. And that's kind of shifted for me a little bit. I do take pride in my education and the schooling that I did. And I think only because when I put something into something, I put it my all, and it's not just like, whatever. It's obviously not like med school or anything, but at the same time, we do so much and carry a lot of the weight of the world. And so I feel like very prideful in that, but also I know there's a little bit of a social worker in everybody. I always kind of think that is like, I think everyone has a little bit of a social worker in them, because like I said, at the end of the day, it's what are you advocating for? And if it, you know, that's really kind of what encompasses a social worker, is they're advocating for something or for someone or with somebody. So it, my I guess ideology of that has changed quite a bit, because I've seen so many great activists out there who are doing great work and they don't have a degree. And so then I fall back on the, well, you don't really need a piece of paper to tell you, you know, who you are, what you are.
And so I kind of think that, maybe you can't call yourself a social worker, like, as you say, on a piece of paper, but that, you know, where, depending on where you are, your perspective, but that doesn't mean that you can't do social work.
Right.
So if we want to say that you're not a social worker or you are a social worker because of these factors, fine. But you could still do social work. You could still advocate. You could still, you know, organize and empower and do all those things. So a social worker and doing social work, kind of like tomato, tomato kind of thing sometimes.
No, I love that. So your social work mentor app, how, what's like the first steps? Like if you, like, how are you getting that out to social workers? What's, how's, what's the process for that?
Well, actually, I mean, I think social media, excuse me, told you my Dodgers, my Dodgers hangover with my throat is still in effect. But I think it's at this point, social media, my presence there is one way that a lot of people become aware of, or you know, just click on different links that, that I'm able to get out there. I think also using like SEO, search engine optimization, and keywords and stuff like that. Over time, I've like I said, it's been, I think maybe like a good 7 or 8 solid years now that this site has existed. And so it's kind of established itself. So there's certain keywords that, that I rank pretty high on. And they're like, if you look up one concept in child welfare that we use, or is harm and danger, or safety planning, or harm statements, danger statements. If you look, do a search for those things, I'm in the top kind of 1 or 2 of those results.
So if someone does that search and then they find a resource to help them create a safety planning plan, or what's, how does it work?
Yeah, so social work mentor is kind of meant to be. So what I found is that when, you know, a lot of counties were trying to develop this this practice model, it was great work, and it actually has ended up developing into the official state of California model for social workers and child welfare. But I found
Which one was that?
It's called the Child and Family Practice Model, or... I think it's child practice model, or child and family. They different places call it differently, but but what I found, and I was one of the kind of, it's called on the, I was on the implementation team, so I was kind of at the forefront of bringing that to our particular organization, and I found that although the content was great, it wasn't always easy for social workers. Like if they wanted to work with a family that had, let's say there's a youth who was, or a family that wasn't responsive, or mm-hmm. or a youth that they couldn't connect with, there's tools in the practice model, and there's techniques that you can use that can help elicit some of that participation from the mm-hmm. person that you're working with.
Okay.
But you would have to go, like, you'd go through these 3-day-long trainings and get mm-hmm. binders of materials and handouts and PowerPoints. Right. And, I mean, it was just so overwhelming that I think a lot of social workers that I saw, they wanted to do it. They loved it as they sat in the training. But when it came to actually putting it into practice, it was mm-hmm. just, it was almost more work to just find what they needed than actually just trying to do it.
Bombarded and overloaded with cases that the training that is required of these workers is just mm-hmm. even more exhausting and draining, even though they need it and they want it. It's like the needs of the children and families are, and that just shows uh-huh. the disparity and gap in the field of, you know, we need more social workers who are passionate about helping people, and also really good, like, efficient training mentor models like you were talking about.
Yeah, that's always what I found, just personally. Like, I loved the trainings that I was in, but 3 weeks later, I, you know, maybe remembered a concept or two, but I didn't have anything tangible to actually use. So the social work mentor, back to your question, is a place where you can go. There's different ways you can use it, but there is, like, a section if you're in, like let's say in child welfare, if you're in the early, if you work in the kind of upfront area of child welfare where you're investigating and, mm-hmm. and looking into some allegations or whatever, there's a section on the site that will give you actual tools that you can use in those situations, kind of suggestions of things that would apply there.
Yeah.
Or a lot of it is like the solution-focused framework, so solution-focused questions and approaches that would be appropriate for that particular scenario. So maybe like scaling questions mm-hmm. or, you know, things like that that you could
assess.
And it's very brief. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The material on the site, on the app, is I try to be concise with this, so you don't have to, it's not like an encyclopedia, like you go on that page and you read the whole thing.
Yeah.
If anyone knows what an encyclopedia is. It's just a brief kind of explanation, direct, mm-hmm. hopefully user-friendly, tangible, and there's some video on there that explains mm-hmm. it on some of them. So that's how someone uses it. They go on there and they kind of find, they try whatever situation they're in, mm-hmm. there's ways that you can directly utilize the site, the tools, the approaches that are available there to apply directly to your situation.
Do you ever have, like, interface with the people who are interacting with your app? Like, are you part of that process of, like, oh, I can see this is a new social worker? Is there, like, that type of mentoring, or is it mainly just the app is kind of the resource and it guides you?
Hey folks, let's take a quick break so I can share a resource with you. You know, the more I talk to social workers, whether they are social workers who are just starting in their careers or social workers who are well down the line in their social work career and very seasoned, the challenge that I hear most consistently is really getting control of a schedule, of a workflow. Social workers, as we know, if you've been doing this work for any length of time, any task that you're given seems like it's a crisis, no matter what time of day. And so if we don't take the initiative, if we don't figure out a way to prioritize the work and figure out how to organize our schedules in order to reflect that prioritization, we're going to always feel overwhelmed and stressed out. So the tool that I have to offer for you today is called the Social Work Organization and Prioritization Tool. And so what this tool does is it kind of helps you to prioritize, to look at each situation, each scenario, each task that you're given, and try to figure out where it should go in your workflow, whether it's something that's urgent and needs to be addressed immediately, or something that can wait a little while to allow you to finish other tasks. So if you want access to that free live tool right now, just go to bit.ly/priority tool. That's bit.ly/priority tool, and you'll get free access to the social work organization and prioritization tool, or what I like to call the SWAP tool. And you'll be able to hopefully organize your work and gain control over your workflow to allow you to be less stressed and more happy in your job as a social worker. So let's get back to the podcast with Mariah.
Yeah, the app is more the resource and the guide. It's I don't, through the app, I don't have that kind of connection. I do have that more through through the courses that I have. So some of the courses that I have, I'm able to interact more with the students in that course. And when they're in the course, they're you know, they have access to the app, the tool. So we can, they sometimes ask questions about the best way to, in their situation, how to use it or whatever. So through the courses, and then I sometimes do one-on-one coaching with social workers. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously a little bit more detailed, their ability to kind of connect with me and ask questions about mm-hmm. certain situations or whatever. And the thing that's amazed me, I did want to say this when you asked about how people find the site. Mm-hmm. When I initially started it, as I mentioned, it was just, my focus was very small, this one particular
right.
organization that I hope to support. But now, I mean, any given day, if I go on my website, it's amazing to me, but there's people every day from like Nigeria and the Philippines and Malaysia and Ireland and New Zealand. Like, it's crazy to me how this little idea that I had to try to advocate mm-hmm. for one little group has gone. And it's not like there's billions of people. I'm not mm-hmm. the Facebook of social work yet.
But, yeah, I love that.
You know, it's just crazy to me the impact that you can have mm-hmm. beyond even what you envision in your, basically in your wildest dreams. And so
yeah.
some of those people in those countries, like countries that social work looks very different than what I'm accustomed right. to here.
Right.
But I've been able to connect with them through the course or sometimes they connect with me directly through social media. And it's just,
I love that. That means
yeah, the ability like,
yeah.
to connect is awesome through technology again.
Yeah, particularly I feel like technology is definitely something that is becoming more of my friend. I, especially since COVID and having to get familiar with Zoom and mm-hmm. just virtual meetings, like I mean, ideally, I'm pretty sure a lot of people can agree with me, is I don't like virtual. It drives me crazy because I'm so like, and probably most people know me to be more like one-on-one in person, talking, hanging out, having a cup of coffee. But obviously in this day, we need to be safe and have that a priority. At least for me, I want to be safe and, you know, practice all of those things. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's
sure.
like a love-hate for me, because I love that I've been able to reconnect with some people and do these coffee chats. Like, it's like scary uh-huh. as an introvert a little bit to be like, oh, okay, let's do this. Let's be
yeah.
live and super you know, in the moment. And yeah, it's just one of those things
that, it's been a crazy switch, you know, for my regular job. A place, like I said, it's a bureaucracy that was,
right.
for the most part, in my opinion, prior to this, because I was always asking for, can we do some remote work or whatever, because it just didn't make sense that we always had to be
right.
in the office to me. And it was distracting. It prevented me from doing work sometimes. And so, but the organization was like, no, people aren't going to work. They're going to slack off or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But now being forced into it, we have found that, I mean, I'm much more productive sometimes,
right?
Or quite often than, you know, and that's the thing, that one of the things I've learned is that I can, you know, be very productive and mm-hmm. and work more than I ever did in the office, but I have to be careful. And the team of social workers that I supervise, I make sure that we all make sure that we keep the balance, because
right.
you know, without the one thing that the office, physical office provided, and that day-to-day one-on-one, mm-hmm. 8 to 5 or whatever, is like the boundaries of the work. But now, as we're home, you know, we, there's boundaries unless you're very, conscious of them and really intentional about creating them for yourself. They sometimes I'm sending or I get emails from my workers, my team at 9 o'clock, 9:30, and I'm like,
hey, wait a minute, get away.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's also provided freedom because sometimes, you know, some people, myself included, I'm not necessarily a morning person. So my best work sometimes is in the evening. I might be reading reports or something at night, whereas in the morning, I like to enjoy some coffee and, you know, read the news or something. So,
absolutely.
So this whole situation is, it's been crazy, but it's taught us all, you know, a new model potentially of how we can do things and be creative and innovative.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say too, just wrote about how you mentioned in the beginning about your kind of isolation or like, you know, feeling disconnected.
Yeah.
I think that's, to me, that's one of my biggest challenges is I do feel, although we have Zooms and our weekly meetings and all that, it's just not, it's not the same. And so, you know, the work, COVID has also brought some isolation or disconnect or whatever. And so I think that's something also that we all need to be very conscious of, because the work that we do can be very, you know, stressful or draining, and we need that real human connection to help us process through that stuff. So
absolutely.
That's another impact of COVID.
Yeah, I know. I've been in contact with my social worker friends and just seeing the impact it's had on them, but also on their clients. It's really devastating. I hope that people are really able to kind of reshift and rebalance and figure out better ways to support each other on you know, within their own team. I mean, I think the things that our clients are dealing with is like a whole nother like story. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just, but just thinking about working with a social work team and remembering, I'm not working in a social work team anymore, but just remembering how exhausting it can be because of the, you know, the work that you're doing and working with clients who are sharing stuff with you that is very, it's very sensitive. It's very almost like traumatic sometimes to hear some of their stories, because you just want to be like, how, like, really? And you're alive? Like, you're incredible.
Yeah. And
like, this is just...
They when they tell you that, then I mean, it's not their intention, but they're really downloading that information onto you or uploading or whatever.
Right, which is why I think that the mentorship and that community and connection with your team is so important, is to have that support with each other, to be able to kind of offload some of the stuff and process like all the shit that you hear about from stuff that is just like, you just want to be like, oh my gosh, people are awful, but I love people. That's always been my mindset. I'm like, terrible people, but I also love people, and I want people to like spread that and just remember
that. That's, I mean, that's social work exactly right there. That's, I don't know if I've ever heard it captured more precisely. Like, people are awful, but I love them. I mean, it sounds kind of weird, or doesn't sound great, but it's a pretty close depiction of what the work is.
Yeah.
And as social workers, we have to like balance that. It's like two ends of a spectrum,
right?
And we're in the middle trying to bring those two ends together.
Right.
That's what makes the work so interesting.
Yeah, I totally agree. So on the topic of social work, I mean, you've been doing this for so many years. What has been, what has been something that has stood out to you, like stories or just experiences that you've had in the field? What's something that has kind of stood out to you?
I think, I mean, to me, I always use this story, at least at this point in my career, that's, it really brought perspective and just brought everything into focus for me of what I'd done. Mm-hmm. So early in my career, when I started, I was kind of coordinating all the youth services at this particular center. And in that work, I met a group of young men, mm-hmm. Kids. They weren't even necessarily young men yet.
Yeah.
And there was three brothers, and they had, I mean, like you said, people are awful. People had been very awful to the three of them, and they had gone through so much trauma. And they were in a program that I ran, and you know, they did well in that program. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of, usually when people graduated from the program, kids, maybe I'd see them here and there throughout the years, but not necessarily too often. But these kids, for whatever reason, I would, you know, every now and then they'd call me, or I'd call them, mm-hmm. check in, or I'd see them in the community. And throughout the years, I would see them and just stay connected. And I'd, you know, they had like news, things that were on the news, like traumatic things, mm-hmm. in their family, like continue to happen through their teenage years, and you know, deaths and just bad things. And then I kind of lost track with them for a few years. But then my daughter both of my daughters went into middle school, and one of them ended up playing softball. And so when she was playing softball, we had like a parent meeting or whatever. Mm-hmm. And in that meeting was one of those kids who wasn't a kid anymore, who had his own middle school child.
Wow.
And so they were going to be on the team together. And, you know, I reconnected with them, and we joked around, and he was doing well. He had his little family, and mm-hmm. you know, they were through everything. He had come out fairly, you know, healthy and good. Mm-hmm. And so that was crazy. But then, in and of itself, that was crazy. But then a few weeks later, at one of the games after work, I went to the field. And as I was walking across the field, I saw my daughter, like, warming up for the game. My daughter was, like, playing catch or pitching or whatever, warming up with his daughter. And at that point, I was like, this is so crazy how these kids that I knew when I started this work, my whole career, practically their whole lives, mm-hmm. we've had some kind of connection. And now our kids, it's kind of like come full circle where you know, because I feel like those kids, those boys that I work with, mm-hmm. they developed me too. I didn't just, it was a reciprocal relationship. And so it came full circle that their development of me as a social worker and a person, and hopefully my impact on them, was like physically visible in
you
our two daughters.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
You saw
like playing catch and. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that, I mean, there's so many stories that we all have about the work and what we do, but to me, that's always one that it's long term. It's, you know, mm-hmm. at this point, kind of decades long, and I saw the physical manifestation of our connection and our work throughout the years, mm-hmm. in our daughters, and so. Mm-hmm.
That was big. Yeah, I think that's such a great story of just hope and resiliency and seeing the longevity of our clients. And that's what we hope to see, is that outcome of they're happy, they're healthy, they have what they want, they're enjoying life with their kids. Mm-hmm. I think that's like, I think that's the reward, you know, you don't see a lot of the rewards until much later, or sometimes never. And, mm-hmm. yeah, but that's really cool. I love that you've been able to experience that.
That's one of those times when people say, you know, we don't get into it for the fame and fortune, mm-hmm. but there's so much, satisfaction of the work. That's one of those examples of mm-hmm. why we do the work.
Yeah, you know, why we do the work that we do. It's that mm-hmm. that positive change and seeing that happen. Like, people can change, and with the support.
And the funny thing, the funny thing, like, with those kids in our youth group that we had, mm-hmm. there were some of those kids that, I don't know, I think you probably experienced this too, or many people that hear this, is that you think sometimes, whether you're working with kids or adults, I found that you think they're not paying attention, you think they're not listening, they're pushing back, they don't want nothing to do with you.
Yep.
But then a few weeks or years down the road, like they can repeat back to you word for word. Oh, you said this and you said that and I did this and that. And I'm like, how do you remember that? I thought you weren't even paying attention. Right. You were tagging on the desk or something. But, yeah. You know, it just another lesson I've learned in my career is that you never know the impact that you're having on people. Sometimes you think that it just went over their head or in one ear and out the other. But really, you know, people are on their own path of how they internalize things and how they, you know, apply those things or not. And so you have to always be aware that it doesn't show up right away.
I think sometimes. That's powerful. And just the words we speak can be very powerful to people, and to be mindful of how we're saying it and who we're saying it to, and to remember that sometimes, those words have a lasting impact. And that's also just another training that I think social workers go through, is to be mindful and aware of what we're saying, because a lot of times that's what our youth remember, is the things that we were saying, the pouring into them, the truth, you know, that we were speaking into them and helping them, that oftentimes doesn't blossom until years down the road, and they can hear our voices. Oftentimes maybe nagging voices, because we're always like, okay, did you do this? Did you sign up for this? Like, but
And they weren't ready for it at that time.
Exactly. Everyone is like on their own journey, and you know, some people are ready and some people aren't, and it's not up to us to decide when they're going to they're going to change. But I love that. Well, we have about 5 more minutes, and I wanted to just end with what's your mentor app website, and how do we contact you? And then to end it, I've been asking my guests, what is like a motto or a quote that you want to leave us with?
Well, I think probably the easiest way to connect with me, because I have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, email, all those things. But I think, if you go to bit.ly, so bit.ly, bit.ly/socialworkmentorlinks. And there you'll be able to see my Instagram, Facebook, courses, the app, the website. Everything is on like a little link tree.
Can you message that to me? For some reason, my laptop is frozen.
I'll send you that.
Okay, and then
I think that's probably the best way.
Okay, great. I'll put the link into our video and post it.
Okay, yeah, everything is there. And then, let's see. Oh, in terms of, just another quick thing, I put together some time back, again, talking about people who are just starting out in social work or thinking about getting into social work. And, you know, they have sometimes a lot of the newer people that I'm talking to, they're wondering, like, if they're already in the career but struggling, they're thinking, do I have what it takes to be successful in this career? And they're kind of doubting their choice sometimes, and I find that discouraging. But I know from experience that, you know, if you really have a better understanding of the tools that you need and what the work is, you can get over that hump. And also there's people that want to get into social work, or they have that passion, but they hear about the work and they don't know if they have what it takes. So these are maybe like high school or junior college. And so I put together this the list of the top 10 social work skills that that people would need. So I think that's on those links too, but directly it's bit.ly/SWN10skills. So SWM, like social work mentor, but I'll send you that too. But that's, I'll send anyone who's interested, I'll send you out that, it's like just 3 or 4 pages of the top kind of 10 skills, empathy, you know, I think advocacy is one of them too. And so you'll see, you know, some of the things that it's important to have in social work. And then just in terms of a motto, I mean, I think a motto for social work in general is just some of the things we've talked about today in this conversation, and not necessarily in motto format, but just philosophies or thoughts. Mm-hmm. People are awful, but I love them kind of thing.
Yes.
But one of the for a social work mentor itself, the thing, actually, I think, I don't know if you can see it. It's on, oh, it's probably backwards or whatever, but.
Yeah, I could, we can see the logo, but.
The motto that I've always had that's on there is pointing you in the right direction, because I feel, I've always felt that, like, with social work, whether you get your BSW, your MSW, your LCSW, you go through this training or whatever, like, you're given these tools, you're given this bag of information, this
right.
big, helpful, clinical or whatever, like, all this information, and then you're sitting at your desk, but you don't necessarily always know where to go with it, and
right.
2 weeks or 2 months later, it's kind of just faded out into the ether as you do your work. But for a social work mentor, what I try to do through the app, through the courses, through even my social media posts and whatever is just help consolidate some of that information or make sense mm-hmm. of that information for social workers in a practical way that points yeah. them in the direction of actual work. And so mm-hmm. taking the concepts and making those concepts user-friendly, accessible, mm-hmm. tangible, so that workers can actually apply them mm-hmm. and at the end of the day have the greatest possible impact on the people that they're working with. So pointing you in the right direction, hopefully, is what social work mentor is doing, or that's what I strive to do every day with it.
That's great. That's perfect. I love it. Well, thank you so much, and hello, and goodbye to our followers. Thank you for joining. If you have questions,
thank you.
Don't hesitate to reach out to myself or Ernesto through social work mentor. I'll put the link in the video and post it to my Instagram feed. And yeah, thank you so much. We'll have our next guest is in 2 weeks, I believe, and she is a awesome designer of kids clothing, and it's super cute. So cool. I'm super excited to meet with her.
Awesome.
And yeah, we just thank you so much for joining us today, and hope to see you soon.
Thank you.
So that's it for another episode of the Social Work Mentor Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got some value out of it, something that you can apply to your work today, because that's really what Social Work Mentor is all about. What I intend to do with Social Work Mentor and anything that I do is provide something that social workers and helping professionals can use day to day immediately and just be very user-friendly, accessible, and easy to apply to your real day-to-day work. So before I go, I'll just remind you of a couple of resources that are available to you. One of them I mentioned midway through the episode, which is the Social Work Organization and Prioritization Tool, the SWAP tool, that you could find at bit.ly/priority tool. That's bit.ly/priority tool. The other one I didn't mention, but it's a list I put together for new social workers coming into the field or just starting out, or even for seasoned social workers that want to share it with some of their new colleagues. It's a list of the top 10 essential skills that every social worker must have to do this kind of work. And so I think that's a valuable resource for social workers to have, or social workers at any level. You can get that for free at bit.ly/SW10skills. So hopefully those two resources are helpful to you and can be of value to you and your colleagues. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to you listening to the next one. I'll talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.